state health officials are urging Wisconsin residents to get the updated booster for COVID-19. It's Thursday, September 14th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Sarah Lear has an update on a plan for nearly $3 billion in state income tax cuts. And Danielle Kading tells us how Waukesha residents will soon be getting their water from Lake Michigan. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
State health officials are urging everyone to get their flu shot and the updated COVID-19 vaccine before the winter hits. As Hope Kerwin reports, the new booster better targets the current strain of the virus, which appears to be spreading more widely in recent weeks.
Wastewater monitoring shows concentrations of the coronavirus in Wisconsin have increased since mid-July, though they remain low. Dr. Ryan Westergaard from the State Department of Health Services says the bigger question is where the season goes from here.
The most likely scenario is that we will have comparable levels of symptomatic COVID-19 disease, hospitalizations, as we did in the last year.
He says the same is expected for influenza, which isn't circulating in the state yet. Anyone age 6 months and older is encouraged to get both the flu shot and the new COVID booster. Westergaard says the updated vaccine better targets the current strain of the virus. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says former members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court are now advising him on the potential impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Rich Kramer reports that Voss says that option is still on the table.
Voss says he's formed a panel of unnamed former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices to review impeachment criteria. He says Protasiewicz must recuse from two redistricting cases before the court because she's called Republican maps rigged on the campaign trail. Republicans are fast-tracking a bill to bring Iowa-style nonpartisan redistricting to Wisconsin. Voss says he would prefer to see Democrats support that.
But if you have a justice that has predetermined cases and is not going to take themselves off the case, I want to know what all of our options are so that we are ready to go if it is required.
Voss says Democrats previously supported nonpartisan redistricting, but Democrats say Voss can't be trusted, and the bill would give the Republican-led legislature final say over maps. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now, legal experts say the bill could still wind up giving one party an advantage in the future. Under the plan, Wisconsin's nonpartisan legislative reference bureau would draw voting maps that would need to be approved by state lawmakers. If state lawmakers reject two bureau maps, they would then be allowed to pass their own on the third try. Speaker Voss is downplaying that by saying that Democratic Governor Tony Evers could simply veto the maps he doesn't like. But UW-Madison Democracy Research Initiative staff attorney Derek Klinger says that only works with split-party government.
I suppose it counts as a check, as long as there's a Democratic governor. But, thinking long-term, who knows who will be in the governor's seat the next time, and the time after that, and the time after that.
Democrats and Evers are strongly opposed to the Republican plan. And if you want to learn more about redistricting in Wisconsin and how we got to this point, you should really check out our podcast, WPR Reports Mapped Out. It's available wherever you found this podcast, and you can find it online at wpr.org/mappedout. A plan for nearly $3 billion in income tax cuts now heads to the state Senate. As Sarah Lear reports, the bill cleared the assembly on Tuesday with all Republicans in favor and all Democrats against.
The bill would draw upon the state's surplus to expand retirement exemptions and to cut income taxes for individuals making roughly between $27,000 and $300,000 annually. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the changes would bring relief to Wisconsin's middle class.
People are paying more for every single thing in their life. They're paying more for energy, they're paying more for gasoline, they're paying more for food, they're paying more for rent.
But Democratic Governor Tony Evers calls the proposal fiscally irresponsible and promises to veto it. He says it would hurt Wisconsin's ability to fund priorities like childcare and public schools. To override a veto, Assembly Republicans would need to get at least 2 Democrats on their side. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The future of Milwaukee's Mitchell Park domes could soon be in the hands of the voters. The domes were constructed more than 60 years ago and are in need of repairs. A plan to demolish the beloved landmark could cost the county upwards of $6.4 million, while a plan to repair them would cost at least $67 million. County Supervisor Juan Miguel Martinez said those figures are concerning to him.
These amounts are staggering. They're amounts that are simply kind of unfeasible, even if we were to raise some sort of money.
Another supervisor said he wants to take the issue to the voters through a binding referendum. If voters pass a referendum, it could allow the county to raise the tax levy to fund a plan. Around 200,000 visitors come to the complex on Milwaukee's south side each year. Coming up, Danielle Kading reports on a new effort to divert water from Lake Michigan to Waukesha. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, when Waukesha residents turn on their tap soon, they'll be drinking water from Lake Michigan. The water withdrawal is the first approved by the 8 Great Lakes states under a landmark deal that largely bans diversions outside the basin. And as Daniel Kading reports, it took more than a decade to make it happen.
It's late August, and construction is wrapping up at the site where Lake Michigan water is being piped in from Milwaukee.
So we're going to head over to the pump station now.
That's Dan Dukniak. He's general manager of the Waukesha Water Utility. A pump whines in the background as he leads the way to 2 pipes. One is light blue and carries water from Milwaukee. The other is dark blue and sends water to Waukesha's system. Dukniak says the whole transition will take several weeks before around 72,000 people have Great Lakes water as part of the $286 million project.
But I'll just be happy for the residents of the city of Waukesha because they've been waiting for a long time for a sustainable, safe water source.
In some western states, access to fresh water from sources like the Colorado River has become a fierce competition. And in some parts of the world, large lakes have nearly dried up over decades due to climate change and water diversions. Those trends have made the Great Lakes an invaluable resource. And in the 2000s, the 8 states and 2 Canadian provinces bordering the lakes created the Great Lakes Compact to protect them. Under the deal, Waukesha is the first city to receive approval from all 8 Great Lakes states to withdraw water. The landmark agreement bans water diversions outside the Great Lakes Basin with limited exceptions. Waukesha fits that bill because it lies in a county that straddles the basin line. Democrat and former Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle says Waukesha's plans were controversial while the compact was being written.
But we really had to give everybody the assurance that there would be a process, both the sides that wanted the withdrawal and the sides that didn't, by which you could be assured that the water would be returned and it would be treated.
Doyle chaired the Council of Great Lakes Governors when the deal was signed in 2008. Waukesha first applied for Great Lakes water 2 years later. But one of the city's early requests to withdraw up to 10.1 million gallons of water per day was opposed by environmental groups. Molly Flanagan is with the Alliance for the Great Lakes.
It was much more than they were using at the time.
Flanagan says they also questioned whether Waukesha had explored other alternatives. Groups also had concerns about the size of Waukesha's larger service area, and they worried about effects on the Root River, where water will be treated and returned to Lake Michigan. Peter Annan says changes ultimately limited the area served and the maximum withdrawal to 8.2 million gallons per day. Annan authored the book The Great Lakes Water Wars. He says any governor could have vetoed the diversion under the compact, and at least one considered it. In the end, a council representing 8 Great Lakes states unanimously approved it in 2016.
Whether you like the Waukesha decision or not, you can't deny that it's extremely historic for the Great Lakes region and especially historic for the Great Lakes Compact.
A group of Great Lakes mayors feared its approval would open the barn door for more withdrawals, but both opponents and supporters agree it's a relatively minor diversion for the Great Lakes. At a recent ribbon-cutting ceremony, Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley and Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson toasted the completion of the years-long effort with a glass of Milwaukee water.
To the healthy, clean water for Waukesha for generations, and to Milwaukee Water Works, which we'll be drinking. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
As Waukesha celebrates, Annan says the strength of the compact means it's unlikely water-starved western states will seek Great Lakes water. But he says he wouldn't be surprised if the next request came from water-stressed areas of southeastern Wisconsin. Dan Dukniak with Waukesha's water utility says he doesn't think the city's diversion will be the last.
I will say this, you know, I think the precedent that we've set with returning 100% of the water and committing to that is a precedent that can't be undone.
He says the diversion sets a high bar for any future diversions in the Great Lakes. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and Mallory Chang. As always, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts every single weekday morning. While you're there, seriously, please leave us a review and a rating. Let us know how we're doing. It always helps. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.